welcome to another exciting edition of The Thought Police, the podcast that everybody's talking about, because, of course, somebody described it just the other day, Kevin. Kevin O'Sullivan's here with us. Just the other day, is, these guys, all they do is they attack public figures and swear about them, call them horrible names. I absolutely fucking love it. That's kind of generally the view.
I mean, it's banal, it's profane. We swear too much, it's pathetic.
Disgraceful.
That's the whole fucking point of it.
Shocking.
So someone on Twitter, by the way, this morning, because we were plugging our the Mike and Kev slot on Talk TV from 9:30 to 10 a.m. every day, Monday to Thursday.
Monday to Friday.
Anyway, so it was like you put a plug out and somebody retweeted it with a post. the biggest two cunts on the radio.
Okay, I'm happy with that.
I said that's not true. We're on television.
Yeah, exactly.
But
if that could be a slogan, I'd be happy with that.
The biggest two cunts on television.
Why not?
So listen, you know, you could probably still hear it. I've got this fucking cough.
Know it?
Yeah, you do know
you've
it.
You've had it since you've been back from holiday.
Yeah, which is 2 fucking weeks now. Anyway. So, as you also know, because I like to suffer not in silence.
You don't suffer in silence.
No, I don't
suffer.
You don't
really anything in silence.
That's true. So, I tried to get hold of my GP. So, I wanted to go and see a doctor because I can't shift this fucking cough. So, I phoned him up yesterday at the behest of my wife because my instinct is to say, I'll go around, it'll go away in the end. She said, no. So, I phoned up. Told the story, as you know, on Talk TV yesterday, and it kind of went viral.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people can relate to it.
Yeah, they can.
So I phoned my GP, which is in a lovely bit of Hampstead, and get this receptionist. It didn't take too long to get through, to be fair. Only about 5 minutes to pick the phone up. Said, what's wrong with you? I got this cough, can't get rid of it. What kind of a cough? I said, a cough. It's not particularly, doesn't hurt that much. It's just a bit irritating, won't go away. Right, I'll have to take the details. Please hold on.
Yeah. Bink. Oh my God.
The music starts.
The fucking hold thing just kills you, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I'd just rather be killed.
Yeah. So then this goes on for about 3 minutes. She finally comes back and said, now, what's wrong with you? I said, I just told you. It's a cough. But I need to write down
You're the fucking doctor's assistant.
So I go through the whole fucking thing again. Yeah, I had a cold. Can't get rid of that.
So this is a receptionist.
This is receptionist,
No medical qualifications.
No, none
of that.
So I go through all that. And she said, is it urgent? So I said, I wouldn't want to take the place of someone who genuinely had an urgent case. You know, I'm not dying here, so not really. So she says, I can't offer you an appointment for at least 2 weeks.
Right.
So I said, let me regroup there. Then it is urgent. She said, okay, someone will call you within 48 hours. I said,
that
isn't really that brilliant. I said,
48 hours?
Yeah. I said, do you find that when you people want an appointment with a GP and you say, if it's not urgent, 2 weeks. If it is urgent, 2 days. Do you find that people are very satisfied with that? And she said, no, not very often. I said, I'm not surprised. She said, she goes, this is what she said. She said, that's what happens when you have an NHS that is chronically underfunded.
Oh, for goodness sake.
So I said to her, you might argue that it's not chronically underfunded because you get 200... I didn't say fucking, but I've got to say it now because it makes it sound like a better story.
Well, you probably wanted to say.
Yeah, I wanted to say, but I said words to this effect. You might say it's chronically underfunded. I might say it's chronically mis-fucking managed. You know, you get 200 billion fucking pounds a year.
Right.
Why don't you get rid of all those people who earn £100,000 a year, 3,500 of them who aren't doctors or nurses, you know, then you can spend the money, you know. And then I said, but then again, I didn't call you for a fucking political discussion, did I? I didn't call you for your left-wing pro-NHS opinions. And she said, no, you didn't. I said, let's not talk about your views on the NHS.
Yes.
Can I see a GP? She goes, not for 2 weeks.
I mean, it is incredible, isn't it, how shit the NHS really is. I mean, we had a guy on this week who rang in from Wales, where it's even worse than it is in Britain, thanks to Mark Kim Jong Drakeford, who's just, by the way, imposed a 20-mile-an-hour national speed limit, which we must talk about as well. Mm. Fucking twat.
Yeah. Oh,
but here
God,
we go,
yeah.
Right? So this guy says, I think I've been probably waiting quite a long time. I think this could be a record. He's been waiting for a knee replacement operation. I said to him, and he's in Caerphilly in South Wales, and he said, it's not been very good. I've had to give up work now because I can't walk. I said, well, how long have you been waiting? 14 years.
Fuck.
14 fucking years, right? Fucking he said, at one point, they forgot about him altogether and took him off the waiting list. And so when he rang up to say, you know, any chance of you doing me fucking anytime soon, they went, oh, your name's not on the list anymore. They had to put it back on. And then he said, I was due to have it finally after 14 years. I'm so excited. Due to have it done on Friday. And he says, guess what? They've fucking cancelled it. I mean, it's unbelievable. I know people now who literally just don't even bother going to the NHS. They just go straight to private, even though, because private health is actually now becoming quite sophisticated in this country, because all hospitals that just do private work will give you a payment plan. They'll give, if you haven't got health insurance, they'll help you to pay for it. And it's a bit like people who can't really afford to send their kids to private school, but the schools are so shit in their area that they somehow find the money. People are now somehow having to find the money because they need operations.
Well, it's a terrible situation because they're suffering. They're in pain. Yeah. People in desperation will somehow find the money.
And it's outrageous.
But they're doing things like selling their house in order to get treatment.
But it's outrageous, is it not, that we pay into this fucking system all of our lives and we literally get fuck all back.
Yeah.
So, fuck all.
Anyway, I've got to tell you the final chapter of my GP story was there. So I go on air yesterday and go, well, don't say fuck it. The NHS is sick. It's absolutely disgraceful. They put a ring of steel around doctors so you can't get to see them or speak to them. It's an absolute disgrace. Have you had that experience? Switchboard and
it up.
Anyway, this morning I did Mike and Kev with you. Mm. Came out of the studio, my phone's going, it's a GP.
I hope he's listening.
It was fantastic.
Really?
She just said, she said to me, you probably, shall I explain what it was? She said, I understand that. And then funny enough, I did have a little bit of a coughing fit. She said, yeah, I can hear what that is. She said, you probably think I'm not going to give you antibiotics. I said, well, put it this way. If you don't, I'm going private. She said, no. I'm going to give you antibiotics. That's
really?
What you need.
You see, this
so
is
she
the other
did the
thing.
Prescription and everything was great.
And this is the thing that people don't understand about this ridiculous mantra that some people have, which is, oh, you don't want to go to the doctors because it's taking up their time.
Yeah.
You're wasting their time. No, I'm fucking ill. That's why I'm going to the fucking doctor so that they can make me better. And then when you get told by the doctor, they do this a lot with kids, not so much happily with adults, as you've just found out, where they say, well, the thing is, this has happened to my kids, where they've gone, well, let's see how they are in a few days. And you go, look, you need to give them antibiotics. I know what they've got. And antibiotics will make them feel better.
Yeah.
Sure enough, you go back a week later, they give them the antibiotics. Then they give you this bullshit story that, well, the thing is, you know, if we give antibiotics out too often, then everyone will become immune to them and they won't work. Absolute shite. It's like the time I went to get fucking... I know sometimes I get like a sort of a bloodshot eye, right?
And it
can be from a variety of things. But the one thing that fixes it is the antibiotic eye wash, which you can only get from a pharmacy.
Right.
You can't buy it over
the counter.
And I once went to this place that it was a Boots, I think, somewhere in, I don't know, somewhere in Sussex. Mm. And there was this huge woman behind the till who literally looked like you couldn't remember if you had a fucking crane, you know. And she's like, yeah, sorry. She said, no, we don't think we can give you that. I said, well, look, I know it's going to fix my eyes. She said, no, I don't think so. I said, well, why can't you give it to me? She said, well, the thing is, if you use it too much, it will become ineffective.
Well, I won't use it too much.
I won't use it too much. I'll use it until it's better.
Yeah, yeah. And my eye's not red, I won't use it.
And then I won't use it. And then it'll fix my eye. She's like, no. The trouble is, you see, that we all become immune to all of these cures and then they won't work for you anymore. And I'm like, well, why won't you give it to me so it works now? That she wouldn't fucking give it to me. I had to go to a different pharmacy and get it from them. It's
sort
of the kind of discretion of these fucking gatekeepers who know fuck all about medicine. Like the woman on the phone to you, not the doctor. Yeah. Once you find the doctor, the doctor's usually pretty good.
She was really good. But, you know, this business of don't bother the doctors, a colleague of ours who should probably remain nameless, she says to me, you know, I've been coughing, as you know,
I mean, I'm not dying.
I mean, there are people
coughing my fucking guts up,
saying, "When the fuck is O'Sullivan going to get his cough fixed?"
But this person said, "Well, don't bother the doctor. Yeah. Just wait until you're better." Right. What do you mean? As you said, it's like, oh, you're ill.
Yeah.
Well, don't bother the doctor with that.
Right.
It's fucking weird.
It's one of the weirdest things about the British culture. That you don't want to bother people.
Yeah.
You know, thank God the two of us lived in America. I think there's a reason why we are the way we are. Because you live in America and you get to the fucking point of actually saying, you know what? Not only is the customer, but the customer is always fucking right.
Yeah.
And the trouble with the NHS is they don't treat you like a customer. No. They treat you like you should be somehow fucking grateful that they're treating you.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry, it's not the fucking third world.
Protect the NHS. Fuck off. You protect us. That's your job.
That's exactly
it's
right.
It's not my fucking job to protect the NHS.
How about when I walk into a hospital, they should be clapping me for paying so much fucking tax that they can get a fucking job that's paid for?
Yeah, 40% of the national budget goes on the fucking NHS.
20% of your income tax goes to the NHS. So you've paid plenty, I think you'll find, for getting a fucking doctor's appointment. I've always said, and I don't shrink from this, that if you've paid more tax in to the NHS and you've got somebody who hasn't paid any tax in, then you should get fucking priority over them. Fucking they should have a two-tier system, and if you want to fucking sit there on your ass all day, not fucking working and not fucking contributing to the fucking general exchequer, you can fucking get in the other queue.
The point about the NHS now is, you know, all respect to people who just can't afford health insurance, but if you can remotely afford private health insurance now, that's what people are doing. And the reason is that everybody knows the NHS is a fucking great shit show.
It's on its arse.
And if you've got a problem, if you need treatment, if you need an operation, you're not going to fucking get it.
You're really just not going to get it nowadays. It's an except. I mean, there are still positive stories, and occasionally you hear them, like you just had a happy ending for yours. But mostly it's an unusual state when somebody rings in and goes, "Oh, actually, it all went really well. It was all great, and the operation was fine, and nothing bad happened, and I didn't have to wait, and they didn't change the date, and they didn't fucking cancel it, and they didn't go on strike." I mean, today, 36,000 operations and procedures stopped for cancer patients because of these fucking cunts. Doctors who want to go on strike.
I know. I'd
sack them all.
Yeah, sack these fucking.
If you want to go on strike, we don't want you.
Yeah, and by the way, you're a consultant. You're going on strike. You get 150 fucking thousand pounds
minimum.
Not to mention your 300,000 or 400,000 you get from your private practice. Go fuck yourselves. Yeah. Go fuck yourselves. I'll give them a fucking pay cut.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I just get rid of them. And you're not getting rid of all doctors because most doctors are actually not on strike.
Yeah.
Most junior doctors are not on strike. Yeah. Most nurses were not on strike.
Look at the nurses. Look at the nurses when they get going on strike and the pompously named Royal College of Nursing and just another two-bit trade union.
Yeah.
Announces, the nurses have had enough, they're all walking, they're right behind this strike. As soon as, you know, it's a familiar picture, as soon as this trade union was forced into having a vote, the nurses voted to accept the pay deal.
Of course they did, because mostly they're not that badly paid.
Same deal for the
beer. It's a complete myth.
Same deal for the doctors.
It's a complete myth that people have swallowed, because the one thing that the trade unions have got quite good at, and I count Mick Lynch in this, Mick Leahy, the fucking Aslef guy, the nurses, the doctors, they're all very good at twisting the minds of the stupid, because there are an awful lot of stupid people in this country, and they believe any propaganda you fucking fire at them, right? Yeah. Like, for example, they believe that nurses need more money. They haven't actually looked at what happens. They haven't realised. It might be a difficult job. It might be sometimes gruelling, and you might sometimes go home in tears. Well, I know lots of people that do jobs like that, but the point is that they don't get brilliant fucking pensions, they don't get brilliant holiday pay, they don't get fantastic double time when they work on weekends, and they don't get all the perks of the job that these nurses can get. If they do work 18 hour days, they do pretty well. They make good money.
Well, they end up with about 10% pay rise? They got a fucking good deal.
Yeah.
And they grabbed it with both hands.
But also, for the evil Tory government currently, and I'm not defending them because I don't think they're doing very much that's worth a fag end, but what they've managed to do is give everybody a fucking pay rise. So we've now got a problem with inflation because so many people have been given a pay rise. So all these fucking public sector twats who are going, "Oh, we haven't had a pay rise in 20 years. Well, they've all been given a massive fucking pay rise.
I mean, you know, this Rishi Sunak guy, is it just me or fucking he's just an A-grade useless cunt?
I just don't think he knows
what fucking useless.
Well, he doesn't know what he's doing, does he? He doesn't know what to do.
And he U-turns, he flip-flops on everything. We're not going to have any more inshore wind farms. We'll have them then. I'm going to stop the boats. Oh, maybe I'm not. It's just... on the fucking migrant crisis, all this stuff about what's really going on the northern French beaches, which emerged this week, that the fucking gendarmes, specially commandeered to come to Calais and stop the boat, stop the migrants. They're just on the pissing fucking Calais, staying in a 4-star hotel.
Picking up birds.
They're picking up girlfriends and not stopping the migrants. Rishi gave fucking Macron $500 million for this shit.
I know.
What a fucking naive idiot. And why didn't Rishi... Don't ever give Macron any money to do something about the migrant crisis, because any sensible politician, which Rishi Sunak is supposed to be, knows that if Macron stops the migrants, it's a fucking vote loser for him. The French don't want the migrants there. The French want them on those dinghies on the way to Britain. So when Macron took his $500 million, he said, thanks very much, Rishi. Won't really be doing a fucking thing on that.
Yeah.
I mean, why did the Sunak know that?
But why are they so useless with our money, right? Because surely if you were in business, you would say to Macron, or whoever it was that you wanted to do something, you would offer him an incentive. You'd go, look, for every fucking migrant you stop, I'll give you this. Yeah. And that way, it would be performance-related. So if you did actually stop somebody, you'd get some money. Yeah. But if you didn't, you get fuck all.
Yeah, well,
that's the way you do
business. Generally speaking, you're absolutely right. Don't give the money up front. But with Macron and the migrant crisis, don't give him any fucking money at all, because he has no interest whatsoever in stopping a single migrant.
No, of course not.
He wants to say to the French people, I'm the president that is letting them all go to Britain. Because that will win him votes.
And also, we're waiting, are we not, for the lefties to come out with this great sort of defence of the guys swinging clubs at the fucking gendarmerie.
Yeah, the two
guys who've now been jailed, by the way,
for illegal entry into
Britain. Right now,
what about all the other migrants then?
This is my point. For the lefty lawyers to say, oh, but everybody's got a right to claim asylum. Well, not
they didn't.
These two didn't.
What's the difference between them and every other migrant?
Exactly. So why don't we use that as precedent and say, right, you lot, here, come off that fucking dinghy there, straight into a bus, straight down to fucking, Dover Crown Court, and you can wait in the cells until we hear your fucking case, because you are currently charged with trying to enter Britain illegally.
Yeah, and lefties still will look you in the eye and say it is not illegal for migrants to get into illegal vessels, illegally cross the Channel, illegally land on Britain's beaches.
Without papers.
Without documents, which in itself
is also illegal.
They will look you in the eye and say, as long as they claim asylum, that means it's not illegal. That's fucking not true.
Yes.
These people, when they land on, by the time they land on our beaches, have broken about 4 of our laws without fail.
Right.
And yet, the only reason we don't do them, like those two guys got done in Canterbury, the two guys who had a fight on the beach in France. The only reason we don't do it is because of the sheer numbers.
Yeah.
The practicality. You can't put 1,000 people a week in the dock.
Yeah,
but it doesn't mean that they're not breaking the fucking law, because they are.
Again, if they had any fucking cojones, they would lock up the first 100 that come tomorrow and say, right, they're all going to prison. And then, guess what? Next day, probably 200 wouldn't come. Some might, but if you start locking them up properly and they realise that coming here is not the fucking be-all and end-all of everything, then in the end, they'll stop. Yeah. But I read a really fascinating piece at the weekend written by, funnily enough, that operation called CODA, which is the one that old Mariana Spring tried to lie on TV about, when she tried to get a job working for this outfit. I think
the BBC's disinformation correspondent who specialises in disinformation about herself.
Right. I mean,
she's a liar.
The best quote from that story was, everything else on my CV is true.
Yeah, great. Okay, yeah, that's all right. As long as you only told some lies. Yeah,
only 5% of my CV is false and bullshit, right? But they did a great piece. They went.
You couldn't make it up, could you?
You really couldn't. But you kind of knew. It's like all those stories that come in and you think, actually, that doesn't surprise me. Fucking absolutely right. But this woman, reporter, went to this town in Albania where basically they were talking about all of the young men leaving. But more interesting than that, they said that these guys who make all the money, who are inevitably drug dealers. They call them influencers. They claim that they're.
We making, call them dealers,
right? But they drive. But they drive these supercars, you know, souped up, you know, Porsches, BMWs, Lamborghinis, and all this Ferraris, and they take them back to the town with the British plates on, and they go, "This is what we've done. This is how successful we are. You should come and do it too."
And they put
these adverts on TikTok. So all the young men in this fucking town have all fucked off. Yeah. And of course, some of them realise that it's not exactly as it was painted to be. But that's why they're all coming, because they think they're coming to Britain to make their fortune.
They probably do when they get into the drug trade.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's absolutely unbelievable how much of the fucking drug business is now completely run by Albanians.
And plus the car thieving business.
Yeah.
They steal cars on an industrial scale, you know, Mercedes, BMWs, and within an hour of them being stolen, they're broken down, all the parts, everything, and they're on a fucking container on their way to continental Europe.
Where I live has apparently been used in the past, I don't know if it still is, as a drop zone for basically quite expensive cars that they steal. But because they might have trackers on, because they're expensive, they park them in a particular place for a couple of weeks, watch it, and if anyone finds the car and takes it home, because that means they basically tracked it, they leave it alone. But if nobody's come for it in 2 weeks, they know the tracker's either not working, and sometimes they try and take the tracker out, and they basically nick the car, and they've got it home free.
Interesting. Should we talk about the fabulously named idiot, the new culture, shadow culture?
Oh, yes.
Thangam Debonair.
Why not? Yes. Debonair, she's not.
Debonair by name, not by nature. Yes. Four eyes. She is
coming from two people who wear glasses.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, it's not entirely.
Yeah. Well, we are nothing if not unfair.
Yeah, it's
You know, we're equal opportunity insulters.
Yes.
But anyway, she is Keir Starmer's new shadow secretary for culture and sport.
Yeah.
And her first declaration after landing this prestige ministerial job is to reveal she's never been to a football match and she's never been to a rugby match. She's going to be fucking good on the sport front, isn't she?
I mean, why?
These fuckers. What dictates you getting a ministry? Yeah. Well, why do you get a, you know, why has Grant Shapps been minister of fucking everything for about 10 times in the last 3 years? Who makes these decisions?
Well, the only good thing about Grant Shapps being Secretary of State for Defence is that so far we haven't actually entered World War III.
We fucking will with him at the helm.
I mean, he doesn't seem to have done anything dangerous yet.
Yeah. Well, he'll only be there 3 months. He'll get another.
But this is what I
job,
said to somebody the other day, that, you know, it's all very well saying, oh, well, definitely Labour are going to be the next government. Definitely Keir Starmer's going to be the next Prime Minister. But when you look around their front bench, and you see people like this woman,
Debonair,
who's never been to a football match. I mean, even if you weren't going to be a media, culture and sports secretary, that would be a fucking admission of horrendousness that you don't understand ordinary people. Guess what? Ordinary people in Britain go to football. Ordinary people in Britain go to rugby. How about you try and experience that and see what it's like?
Yeah, exactly. You know, well, you know, of course, going to football in particular is a working class activity, and there are no working class people in the Labour Party.
For absolutely Christ. Not.
It's the party.
They've kicked them all out.
It's the party of the.
Apart from Angela fucking Rayner.
Anyway, so you look at sort of Prime Minister's question, you know, the packed House of Commons, and you look at the front bench of Tory ministers, you think, those are the biggest fucking losers I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
And then your eyes kind of flit across to the other side, the shadow cabinet. You think, wait a minute, the Tories aren't the biggest losers I've ever seen. It's the fucking Keir Starmer and his gargoyle morons. Oh, fuck's sake.
And
what
that's
a
the
bunch.
Trouble. I mean, when the Tories came in with Cameron, there was a sense that it looked like they knew what they were doing. And I mean, whatever you say about Cameron, I was no fan of his. You know, it was a pretty
smooth, feeling that they were professional.
Yeah, it was a pretty smooth transition from Gordon Brown's government.
And he was slick. He was slick.
Which, of course, wasn't elected. But it gave the... And a lot of it is about the impression it gives.
It is,
Starmer being in charge of Downing Street and the country, I think, would be pretty fucking terrifying.
Oh, yeah.
I think he has
and that bunch of oddballs around him. They've been... Thangam Debonair, notwithstanding.
Thangams for the memories.
You've got fucking West Streeting, fucking direct relation of the Creed.
Rachel Reeves,
who's about like as something out of a Dracula movie.
I mean, she's about as interesting as a book with no fucking pages in it.
Yeah,
you know, well, there's literally no story there at all.
She's so dreary.
But her claim to fame is that she used to work for the Bank of England. Well, great.
The biggest, most
useless financial house in the fucking
world. Yeah, I mean, you know. Then you're, what's that, Lisa Nandy?
Well, she's been demoted, apparently. Yeah. Because
quite Keir Starmer, fucking right,
but
too.
But hang on, but not because she was shit, but because Keir Starmer was threatened by her.
Threatened by her. She is the most overrated loser in the history of politics. What is it?
Also, isn't it great that all of these people, and it used to be the same in Scotland, John Reid was guilty of this, as was Robertson. They had these constituencies which were so fucking poor that people were literally eating on the street, off the fucking street, because they had nothing. And she's the MP for Wigan. I don't know if you've ever been to Wigan.
I have.
But it is one of the worst and most disgracefully poor parts of Britain. Yeah. And she's represented it for a long time. What's she done for those people? Nothing. Well, fuck all.
In my keener days of football, I used to go to a lot of away games. And so I've been to
Wigan Athletic.
I've been to Wigan versus Fulham a couple of times.
Wow.
And now there are some bad fucking grounds around the Football League. Funnily enough, one of the worst is right here in the middle of London. Is Loftus Road for QPR.
Well, they were going to try and fix that up, weren't they?
It's a rusting corrugated iron shack. Anyway, it is an absolute palace compared to Wigan. Wigan is the worst fucking ground I've ever been to, and I think it's reflective of the whole city.
Yeah, I mean, the whole place is depressing. I was only there because we were driving to Scotland, funnily enough, a couple of Christmases ago, stopped over there for the night, took the dog for a walk in the local kind of, you know, recreation area, which was literally the dog. I've had to pick up fucking needles so he wouldn't be walking on them. There were some kids hanging around in a fucking sort of swing play park. Yeah. It looked about 11. They were all smoking, fucking looking at us like going, yeah, fucking early.
Different
fucking
world,
cuts.
Isn't it? Up there?
It really
different
is. But very poor. But I really object to Labour politicians complaining about the Tories when they represent constituencies where they've done nothing to help the people,
to help them raise
out of poverty. Same in Scotland. Parts of Glasgow, which were represented by Labour for fucking decades, were some of the poorest parts of Western Europe.
Yeah, well, you see,
and they did fuck all for them.
You see, the thing is, Labour have done nothing for the working classes in this country.
And that's why they lost Scotland, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. But you also suspect that, you know, so if their project really is to raise people from sort of working class penury to middle class affluence.
Yeah.
You know, if that's their project, if you think about it, the reason that they haven't succeeded, they failed spectacularly, it might be deliberate.
Mm.
Because if they succeeded, once people got a few quid, they got a nice house,
that's
they're
true,
not going
to
vote for fucking Labour.
That's true. I mean, this is one of the theories about Rishi Sunak. I'm not sure I agree with it, but one of the theories that I've heard this week is that he doesn't want to improve people's lives too much before the next election, because if he does, they might go, actually, things are okay, I might fucking vote Labour and just let those cuts get
in. To be fair, the one thing I would say about Rishi Sunak is he's spectacularly able not to make our lives any better.
That's true.
That's within his skill set.
Yeah.
By the way, talking of fucking Labour, that fucker Tony Blair, will he fucking shut up? Yeah. So now he wants another fucking tax on food, junk food.
Right.
You know, he actually put it like this. He said, we need to help people make responsible decisions about their own interests.
What's he going to do with him?
So, no, that's not what he means. What he wants to do is to tax the fuck out of the junk food that people like to eat, so it's too expensive for them.
Yeah.
So he doesn't want them to make their own decisions. He's making the fucking decisions.
That's what I mean. What's he got to do with him?
I want to say this about all these policies about sugar tax and things like that. You know, it's not a fucking politician's business what I choose to fucking eat.
Exactly.
If I want to fucking fill my mouth with turkey Twizzlers and Coca fucking Cola, I should be allowed to.
Of course you should. Because you'll be paying tax for the privilege of doing so. And all those wankers who go, oh, but you'll be costing the NHS loads of money. Yeah. Oh, really? Well, there's plenty of people who are supposedly healthy who cost the NHS a lot more money than I've ever fucking cost them. Yeah.
We're adults. We're grown-ups.
Mm.
We make our own decisions about what we eat and drink. Not these fucking wankers
but, you know,
in
again,
Westminster.
Again, we're at the point where he claims, because of his fucking success at banning smoking, he thinks that now he can get success at banning anything else. And actually, the smoking ban, in my view, is a fucking disgrace.
It's nanny statism.
It's ridiculous that you can't smoke anywhere at all now, apart from outside.
Yeah.
What the fuck is that
about? Yeah, well, you know, I'll tell you, I did so much to reduce smoking. Yeah, but you didn't make it illegal, did you? Because you wanted the fucking
won the money.
Billions of pounds
10
every
billion.
Year. And same deal now. They get billions of pounds from people smoking. Smoking is a legal activity. People should have the right to do it if they want, and they should not be made into pariahs who have to sort of stand out in the pissing rain every time they want to have a cigarette.
And the same goes for people being taxed out of oblivion so they can't afford to buy whatever it is they fucking want to eat. Fuck that.
Fuck the nanny statism. I mean, the Tories are bad enough. Mm. Fucking Blair and Starmer doesn't bear thinking about. They want to stick their fucking noses into every aspect of everybody's lives. Just fuck off. Yeah. We don't need you.
Let's make it a much healthier place.
Fuck off.
If the fucking NHS worked better, you wouldn't need to make it a healthier place because people would actually get treated on time and they wouldn't fucking die of things that they can't be treated for.
None of their fucking business. If I want to smoke and eat junk food, I should be allowed to. It's a fucking democracy.
It is absolutely right. One thing I haven't managed to mention anywhere at all this week, but has been on my brain for a while, is have you watched any of the Rugby World Cup?
No, not really.
I mean, I know you're not really a rugby guy, but I watched it over the weekend because I had a bit of time on my hands. It was quite nice sitting on my own watching rugby. It was fucking perfectly good for my person, me and the dog. And do you know what they've done? What? It's in France, right? The two highlights for me so far. I mean, England, the opening game was really interesting. All Blacks against France. France won it. But they've got this fucking choir, ludicrously, right, to sing all the national anthems. And it's like a children's, it's like a children's choir. And so everything sounds shit. The other highlight was Macron, who came out to address the nation.
Yeah.
And he got massively fucking booed by everybody in the stadium. The whole stadium was fucking booing Macron, right?
Yeah, well,
But this national anthem thing, they fucked up everybody's national anthem. You know, the French national anthem was pretty exciting. The Argentinian one, the Scots, the Welsh, even the British one. It just sounds shit, right?
Yeah.
And they've done this, and it takes all of the aggression out of the game.
Of course.
Because some bloke would have gone, we don't want rugby players hurting each other. So you know now rugby, they keep sending people off because they've taken out...
they've been a bit dirty.
Actually, contact with the head.
I've seen a little bit of it, and I saw a match the other day, or a bit of a match, and... I can't remember which team it was, but it was one of the English speaking teams. And he got, you know, the referee was down on him like a ton of bricks because he sort of heavy tackled someone. And the guy goes, the referee goes, you got penalty. But the guy goes, it's supposed to be a contact sport.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's ridiculous. Health and safety in rugby.
You can't
hit
people anymore.
By the way, talking about sports, congratulations to Scotland for getting thrashed by England once again. The big battle of Britain in soccer.
Yeah, except it wasn't a fucking proper game, was it? It didn't mean anything.
Oh, it always means something. It always means something. Anyway, 3-1 to England. All four goals scored by England. One of the own goals, of course, by the world's worst footballer, Harry Maguire.
Yeah, he really is.
Only Gareth Southgate thinks he's any good. He can't even get in the Man United side.
How does he keep getting in the England team?
Because Gareth Southgate's shit. And anyway, he scores the own goal. So somebody said to Harry Maguire, he got himself on the score sheet and he was magnificent for Scotland throughout.
Best player.
But you know, fucking Gareth Southgate, this is what fucks me up. It's this typical of this country, you know, adoring mediocrity.
Yeah.
Everybody goes, Gareth Southgate, what a guy. What's he fucking won? Oh, I know.
Nothing. Yeah.
And there's a fucking West End play about him.
What?
West End play. There's a big hit play in the West End about Gareth Southgate, who's achieved the square root of fuck all and keeps picking this fucking donkey, Harry Maguire, who can't even get in his own club side and scored an own goal last night. Shall we finish, by the way, talking, since we're on a rant against things that annoy us? It's an old theme, but I know you... was just as irritated as I was by the BBC's Last Night of the Proms.
Oh, man.
Last Night of the Proms, when everybody used to wave Union Jacks and sing Land of Hope and Glory, guess what? This year, it was a mass of EU flags.
Yes.
BBC, don't forget they organised
it. Oh, they love it.
Yeah.
They love
this
it.
Is, this, don't forget, 2020... They tried to ban the singing of Land of Hope and Glory.
And didn't they try and change the words of it? Or
No, what happens is they banned it, and there was such a furor, such a massive outrage that they had to change their mind. But they didn't let the crowd sing. They brought a fucking singer in to sing it. What is wrong with people waving a Union Jack and singing Land of fucking Hope and Glory?
There is nothing.
Fucking BBC... Fucking weirdos.
You know what they allowed to happen as well was that fucking idiot Steve Bray, the Brexit man. He was there, by the way. He was the one that brought all the flags.
I know.
He gave them all out for free.
I know.
Fucking shambolic. isn't it?
Yeah, a BBC is a weird cult somewhere on the outside of Britain. They're nothing like the rest of the country. We've got to stop having to give those cunts 160 quid a year for the worst fucking TV service known to man. Not a single decent programme. Fucking unpatriotic. They hate this country. They hate their own audience. And they can go and fuck themselves.
I think that's a pretty good place to end.
It is.
The BBC, they're fucking not only defund it, shut it down and start again.
Yeah, fuck them.
Yeah, bollocks to you. We are the Thought Police. We'll be back next week. We'll be right back.